Hello. Thank you for tuning into the For What For Who podcast. My name is Courtney Croucher, and I'm really excited to have you here. I've always been obsessed with self-development and pop culture and everything that influences how we live our lives, which is why we're here today, because I believe that with everything you do, every decision you make, for what, for who, my intention is for this to be a resource for people who want to have better relationships, health, professional growth, balance in your lives, and self-love. Subscribe to hear my journey along with special guests every Monday for a blunt approach to living life unapologetically on your terms. Thank you for tuning in and enjoy the episode. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. Happy Monday. Can you believe it is Leo season already? Happy fucking Leo season. Whether you're a Leo or not, it's a great season to be in. It's very, very exciting. And can you tell I'm on a different level? Because I feel it. In my humble, Leo opinion, I believe that this is the best season, and I'm really excited for you guys to all exude that Leo energy, because man, do I ever feel like myself stepping into Leo season, into Virgo. Literally, it's a year thing that I didn't recognize when I was younger of like why this was. I thought it was because of the school seasons, but now I'm realizing that it's actually associated with like my zodiac sign. That stepping in from Leo into Virgo season, I do very well. I really thrive in this setting. So I'm very excited, and I'm entering a new chapter, as I've kind of shared with you guys. And the next few weeks is going to be a little strange because I actually have my best friend from back home visiting me in Vancouver. You guys are listening to this on Monday, and she'll be actually landing that evening. And I'm having my birthday on the 30th, and it's the long weekend, and then I wrap up my Vancouver chapter within 2 weeks of that. So the next few weeks is gonna really flow by, and did I just say flow by? You know what I mean? Fly by. But I'm really excited, and I'm excited for this next chapter. But however, what I have to be completely transparent with is that leading up to these last, I'd say 2 weeks, I've been in like the worst slump of my life. And it's probably to do with a lot of downtime because I decided to leave my job and take some time off in between and really just kind of like recover from some burnout that I was experiencing. And I knew that my nervous system was just completely shot, but I didn't know how badly. And I don't really want to talk about like work or anything like that right now. That's not what this episode's about. I really want to talk about why birthdays can be so hard. And I didn't realize leading up to it what maybe that was. And it's probably a combination of things when I think about it, not only going through so much change, but also just having downtime for the first time in my life since, COVID, I guess. But everyone else is kind of continuing their day to day, and I've just been chilling, which has been very strange because I definitely have my identity wrapped up in what I do and work. So that's been a challenge, but that is actually why I've taken this step. So it's just weird to go through it. And then realizing that my birthday's coming up, it always dredges up some shit for me. And I haven't been able to figure out exactly what that is, but I think I'm coming closer to the understanding of the root issue. And with that, I thought maybe I'm not alone in this. Maybe like other people experience this. And then I actually saw a creator I follow on Instagram ask if like other people got depressed around their birthday. And so many people shared the anxiety and depression they experience around their birthday. And then I realized maybe I'm not alone. And that actually inspired why I wanted to post this episode, because I don't know if I've ever talked about this publicly. So I thought it could be interesting. Now, what I have to acknowledge is that there's some people who fucking love their birthday. And I love that for them. But I think birthdays in general can be a little bit tough, because if you love your birthday and maybe your birthday didn't go as well as you had hoped, that can lead to a lot of disappointment as well. And I've heard of that. So I think this episode can be beneficial to whoever you are and however you identify with your birthday, because maybe you don't experience it, but maybe your best friend does, and just understanding why it's important to them. It could be really cool to just understand another person's perspective, and actually hearing the other creator talk about it made me want to speak about it more. So it's kind of cool that way. But I decided to look up some articles because I'm like, okay, what the fuck is this? Is there like science behind it? Now, what's really interesting is there was this
article by scienceofpeople.com, and there was actually some questions that they prompt in the article. So it says, have you ever been asked any of the following questions on your birthday? What are you going to do today? How are you celebrating? Aren't you excited? What should we do? Where do you want to go celebrate? And then the article goes on to talk about the peculiar phenomenon of birthday blues and how there's a very particular pattern with certain people right around their birthday. Their behavior starts to change. They get nervous or even sad. They have the birthday blues. So Urban Dictionary actually defines birthday blues or birthday depression as a general sadness or feeling down by a person on or around his or her birthday. A person feeling birthday blues should know that it is normal to feel this way and should be supported by his or her family and friends. Now, what's so interesting about this article is that it says that one study of persons aged 75 and older found that in the 30 days before or after a birthday, the rate of self-inflicted deaths increased. The study suggests that people's morale are greatly affected during their birthday season. So really strange. Thought that was interesting. Don't know how accurate that article or study is, but just interesting. The more you know. Now, this article actually outlines some of the common reasons that people feel down on their birthday. So I'm just going to go off that to start, and then I'm going to speak about my own experience and what has kind of helped me. So some of the common reasons include aging, high expectations, lack of accomplishments, social pressure, less excitement, milestone birthdays, and less love. So it's really interesting because then it actually outlines who could experience birthday depression. And so a couple of the things it says is that people who don't have many friends or family, people with fake friends, people struggling with anxiety, introverted people, or people who have high expectations. Now, I have been reflecting on this over the last week because once I realized that maybe that's actually what's coming up for me, I was kind of trying to figure out maybe where some of that's coming from, because I do look at it like on a rational note as just a day, but there's something tied up that makes it seem to be a more important date than the other 364 days of the year. And I'm trying to figure out why that is. And what I realized what might be happening in my case is the social expectation for one. So, you know, for what, for who was all this was designed in my mind to think of what beliefs and things we've been fed in our society that have encouraged a way of living. And when I think of birthdays, it's definitely influenced by social and cultural traditions and beliefs and what we've put emphasis on, you know, through popular media and traditions and all of that. So, you know, when you think of how our, at least I'm speaking in North American terms, how our society's kind of organized here is that birthdays are kind of a big deal. You know, you get this special day that's just for you, along with everyone else that has the same birthday as you. And, you know, you get a email from your dentist or office. You get a special free cake and maybe a beverage at a restaurant. Maybe they sing you a song. You know, you get gifts. You're celebrated on the IG stories, maybe even tagged posts on the main Instagram profile. You're expected to have this wonderful day. What are you going to do to celebrate you? And for some people, that can be really tough because, well, there's a variety of reasons. I know for me, I struggle to celebrate myself in a big way. I often do little things for myself that kind of romanticize my life and I kind of, you know, date myself. But when it comes to the big things, I do like to just kind of move past it. And I think it's because I am trying to protect myself from disappointment that if I plan something really big or I try to do something really big for myself and it doesn't work out, then I'm going to be really mad that I even put time and effort into it, kind of thing, which I'm still trying to figure out where that's coming from. And is there like a memory there from my childhood? I don't know, but maybe that resonates with you. And when you think of the thing with birthdays and our social atmosphere, everyone turns to you and says, so what do you want to do for your birthday? And it's kind of my pet peeve. And I don't know how to explain this without sounding like a bitch, but I just feel like if everyone wants to celebrate your birthday so badly, they should plan it. Now, maybe I'm not alone in this, or maybe I am, but I hate planning something, especially when it's for me, because I would so much rather like plan big parties and events for other people, but doing it for myself does feel a little bit self-indulgent. And I'm not like opposed to that. There's parts of me that love the attention and the fun of it, but I also don't like the pressure. So it's kind of this double-edged sword, if you will. Now, when it comes to other people who love their birthday, what I have noticed, at least in the circles that I run in, is that they had like really good birthdays when they were younger. And so they've carried it out throughout their adulthood. And when that doesn't happen, they can often lead to feeling disappointed as well, which is really interesting. And it's funny because if you think of even like Sephora, like their fucking rewards program, you get a birthday gift. Like, we've decided that this birthday thing is even part of capitalism, and how, you know, Aerie emailed me telling me about my free pair of undies. Should I spend $35 or more for my birthday gift? It's just kind of funny how that works and how it's so ingrained in our society that maybe we don't question it or ask, like, where did this even start? Now, I'm not a historian, but I do think it's interesting how this birthday blues has become kind of a phenomenon that more people are experiencing. And I think that can also, maybe I'm just noticing it more because I'm getting older too, but that has to do with age. And that's what I want to talk about next into societal expectations, is the idea that when we're growing older, it can start to challenge the way that we think about our lives and our timeline, especially if we don't feel like we're on the right path as quickly as we thought we would be. And that's difficult to swallow. I don't know about you, but I have been there, and I still feel that creep in sometimes of, well, I should be by XYZ by 25, and I'm turning 24 this year. So it feels like I have a year ticking clock that's just going by a little bit too quickly. And it's telling me that I should be somewhere by a specific age. But when we think about it, our idea of success and growing older and what adulthood looks like is so skewed by our society. Because if you look at decades ago, you know, our different generations, if you think of our grandparents, like my grandparents were married at a very young age. They had children at a very young age. They, you know, my grandmother kind of stayed home. She kept busy, but she stayed home with the children. My grandfather worked, and they raised a family. And it was very traditional gender roles, and very much this idea that if you have, you know, the family, like the white picket fence, the good job, you know, you're doing well. But that has changed, as we know, over decades. So much so. You know, people are waiting way longer to get married. People are waiting longer to have children. There are obviously, we've kind of started to open the idea, even what love and marriage and family looks like, because in our traditional vision of what that looked like, it was very heteronormative with all kinds of implications. So that's already changed, you know, the idea of the nuclear family, but then also what that looks like to us as individuals, especially as women, because, you know, women are now being able to achieve so much more in their career and so much more in their lives beyond just being a mother and raising children, which is a powerful thing to do. And if you're a woman with children, you know, don't take offense to that. I'm just saying that there are people who aspire to be more than just a mom. And it's really cool that our society has opened up the opportunities for them to be able to do so. And it's broadened what our possibilities are. But as we get older and that sense of individualism and what our life means and where we're supposed to be, quote unquote, that can get real fucked up, because it's like, okay, well, if you look at any of my, you know, maybe like aunts, grandparents, all of that, they had babies by the time I was 24. They were married. They had a full-time job, you know, all of these things. And you're like, okay, so what does that mean for me? And that can be really confusing. I know for me, that's been confusing, like talking to some older people and older generations. Sometimes I feel like there is this disconnect because there's just, things are just so different, which is so beautiful. But it also, our brains and our bodies and our hearts are trying to make sense of what this means for us and how we're supposed to take this information and run with it. Now, on a personal level, how all of that kind of impacts my life and how I identify with getting older, it can create some anxiety for me because I have huge aspirations of being a serial entrepreneur, but also having children and also getting married potentially. I mean, marriage, like a whole wedding and stuff isn't important to me, but I think finding a partner, having children, but also having businesses is something that's really important to me. And this idea of the women who can do it all, I don't know how I feel about that yet because I haven't gotten there. And it's scary to get older and feel like maybe you're not as far as along as you thought. But oftentimes we can overestimate how much we can accomplish in a year. I think Tony Robbins says this, but underestimate how much we can accomplish in 10 years. And so it is interesting how we put so much pressure on ourselves to have it together by whatever, like 25, when we just became adults, quote unquote, at 18. Like, I didn't graduate university until I was turning 22. So that three, like, okay, if we're going to go to societal standards here, you go to high school, right? You graduate university at 22, you get a job. So that means you have 3 years to get your whole fucking life together. I mean, having worked in the personal finance industry and talking to women about their finances every day, majority of 25-year-olds that I've spoken to have a shit ton of college debt, and they still don't know what they're just now getting a handle on, like, what's going on as an adult at 25. Some of them have kids, some of them don't, you know, but on a grand scale, times are different. So the idea that our timeline hasn't changed is kind of fucked up, right? So I challenge you to question what timeline you have in your head, because it's kind of invisible. It's not like we have this, you know, leader saying you have to be at this point in your life by this age. No one's telling you that. There's no president. There's no, like, specific big guy in charge. But we just have this unwritten kind of rule that you should be further than you are. But yet all of us feel this way, and it's still that looming pressure. So that's kind of interesting, right? I think this also goes into the less love kind of thing, because as you're getting older, maybe you're not as, I don't know, treated as highly as you were when you were a kid. Like, I know for me, I feel like the people that were older than us, specifically like family members, would be so wanting to make you feel so special on your birthday. But then as you get older, that starts to become less and less. At least I did kind of find that with my external family members. You know, there was such a big emphasis when I was like 6 years old to make me feel special. But then as I became an adult, that became less and less. And there's been times where I haven't even gotten phone calls from family members on my birthday. So that can change. And that can be really difficult to understand. And the other thought that I had with less love is not wanting to be where you're at in a romantic relationship potentially. So maybe you thought you would be further, or maybe you're freaking out because maybe you are married and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm XYZ age. Like, all of this can fuck with our head regarding whichever situation you're in. I know for me, it's been recent that I've had a little bit of anxiety, the fact that I've been single for so long and really haven't experienced a deep romantic relationship. I've had little situationships and stuff like that, but I would say that on a general scale, I haven't had a serious boyfriend. So that has freaked me out. But then on the flip side, I'm like, well, I've done things really intentionally that has helped me evolve to the person that I am today and has helped me get really clear on what I want, what I don't want. And I think that that's going to be pivotal for when I do meet someone who I want to build a deep connection and relationship with. So it's also a double sword thing. Like, I feel kind of damned if I do and damned if I don't, because I also have witnessed people who have gotten in relationships when they were really young and then never allowed time to be single in their 20s and maybe just didn't get that time alone that they maybe could have benefited from. And I've heard this from older people who are like, man, I never had that chance. So good for you. So I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it, but I mean, I'm happy with how I've done my life up until this point. Of course, there's things that I wish I could have known when I was younger and all of that. But to this point, I'm quite content with where I am. But I do wonder, how many birthdays will I go without having a partner? That is something that has floated through my mind recently. And it's been probably the first year that's actually happened. So a little strange. You know, normally we're all just joking about whether you're having birthday sex or not. And I feel like because I've done a lot of deeper inner work on myself in the last year, that craving for a deeper connection has also come with that, which is hard to admit because that's vulnerable for me, but it's true. Now, I think moving forward to the next one, the lack of accomplishments is probably the biggest one. You know, the feeling of being unsatisfied with accomplishments since the previous year, you know, seeing the fact that another 365 days has gone by and you're asking yourself, what the fuck have I done? Where was this year? What did I do? Did I do anything? Am I proud of myself? That can be some hard shit to swallow is all I can say about that. But I think if you're in that boat, my only thing that I would encourage you to consider is, what are you going to do with next year? Because I think it's important to reflect on the past, but don't stay in the past too long, right? Reflect what you are unsatisfied with and then make it a very specific point for next year to crush all of those projects, all of those goals, all of those things that you're saying you're going to do. That's what I'm personally doing with myself. And I mean, I'm pretty proud of myself. I'm not going to lie. I've been reflecting a lot lately and honestly, I've done more than I thought I could. So it's a pretty good sign, I guess. And there's so much more I want to do. But up to this point, yeah, I'm pretty pleased. And I'm really excited to take this kind of wake-up call of like, holy fuck, another 365 days has gone by. What am I going to do with it? With this next one so that I can reflect at 25 all the shit I've accomplished. So I think we can use that as fuel and really light the fire in our ass to be like, okay, what are we doing? And you can always switch up at any moment, right? If that's not the reminder we need today, then I don't know what is. You can always switch up and change and decide that things aren't the way that you want them to be and decide to do something about it. Now, when it comes to the expectations and the social pressure, this is where it gets tricky because it's very personal, of course. I know for me, expectations are tough because I am not good at communicating what I need and I'm really trying to work on that. I always thought that words of affirmation was my love language, but I actually get super uncomfortable when people are verbally nice, like when people give me a ton of compliments and are so verbal with their love for me, I don't know what to say. So I'm trying to work on that within myself. That's actually a huge thing I'm focusing on right now. And I have recently have started to look into how when you say that your love language is something, but then like ask yourself how you're doing that for yourself, I realized that I wasn't giving myself any good words of affirmations because my negative self-talk was overbearing any nice things that anyone has said about me. So I've decided to start changing the way that I talk to myself. And that has then made like a ripple effect on how I've expected other people to treat me and what they say to me and how I react. So that's been really an interesting learning curve recently. But the idea of being disappointed means that we have some sort of expectation, right? That it should be this glamorous thing or it should be XYZ. Now, I know for me, anytime I've gotten pressed on the shoulds, I've been disappointed. And I think the only way that we can work through mitigating any disappointment is to only focus on what you have control over and really make it exciting for you in your own way. So for example, I am finding more excitement about how I'm going to feel and what I'm going to do rather than anyone who's going to be there or any expectations external from my own self. So I'm super excited to go to a restaurant that I haven't been to before. I'm excited to see what the hype's all about, and I'm trying not to put too much expectation on that restaurant because I've heard it's really fucking amazing. But if it's not, I'm going to be maybe slightly disappointed, but it's lived up to so much hype to everyone I know. So I'm hoping, you know, fingers and toes crossed that it's good. But if it's not, it'll be a good story. It's okay. Do it for the plot, you know? And I'm going to look hot. Those are two things I have control over is I pick the restaurant and I'm going to look hot. Why am I going to look hot? Because I know what I'm wearing and I know that I'm cute. That's how I'm choosing to live my life. So just make sure that you feel good. How are you going to feel centered? I know for me, I've been having to really work out, meditate, journal, and like do those things to feel really good going into this, especially if you're not someone who likes the lights and likes the photos and the attention. I think making sure that you're in a good headspace and being kind of prepared for people to see you and for you to feel seen is something that I've had to struggle with. And I've really learned through meditation how to start working through that. And actually, it goes back to changing that negative self-talk as well. Now, just a quick side note of something that I found super interesting from Mimi Bouchard's podcast. She was talking about, she was the creator that I was mentioning earlier who mentioned some birthday blues. And she talked about how her birthday's in the summer. She's actually a Cancer. So her birthday was sometime last week. And she was talking about how her birthday's in the summer. And as a kid, she never felt like she was as special as the other kids because in school, they would make a big announcement and do the whole thing for the kids that had their birthday during the school year. But because hers was in the summer, she didn't get that same level of celebration. And a lot of her friends and stuff would be away on summer holidays and not be present for her birthday. And I actually think I resonate with that. The more that I've been thinking about it, I'm like, oh my God, I think you're right. Because my birthday always falls on a long weekend, the August long weekend in Canada. I don't know if it's in every province, but in BC and Ontario, I know for sure that it is. So I have found that it's always been kind of annoying to organize some sort of birthday gathering because it's like the one weekend in the middle of the summer where people are often doing their own things of like camping or whatever kind of trips. So many of my friends I know are going to Kelowna or back to Ontario to see family or whatever, right? They already have their own plans because it's a long weekend. So I think that may have come up for me this year that I didn't even know was a trigger. So it's kind of cool to learn how things from our childhood impact us. And I probably wouldn't have even figured that out until I heard her say, and I went, oh my gosh, I think that's what impacts me. So it's kind of cool to just recognize that because especially once we identify it, it has less weight and we can start to minimize the impact it has on us. And once I've been able to identify it and kind of process it, I'm like, huh, that makes sense. And now I don't feel as anxious around it because I'm sure that the fact that she labeled it, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not the only one, is great. But also, I can't imagine being a kid who had like the same birthday as on Christmas or other defining times in the calendar that could be really inconvenient for everyone around you. So I kind of get it now. I'm okay. I've processed it and I've released it. And I think it's actually helping me get through this birthday season. I actually think that this is a birthday even just doing this reflection and understanding the fact that this is maybe not an isolated experience and that a lot of people experience this has been super healing for me. And the same article that I was talking about and referring to earlier, they have four unique things to do on your birthday. And so there are specifically four questions that you could answer in a journal on or around your birthday to kind of reflect. So I really like these and I wanted to share with them. So the first one is asking the question, what was the best thing that has happened last year? Second is, what did you learn last year? Number three is, what do you hope will happen this year? And number four is, what do you want to learn this year? And I really love like taking that growth mindset approach, because obviously it's where we truly believe that you can learn and have new skills and the abilities will come to you so much easier when you take on that approach. The fixed mindset tells you that your qualities cannot be changed and I am who I am. So I think really taking that approach is a great way to move through things. And these kind of reflections have been really helpful to me in other seasons and areas of my life. So to apply it to the birthday, I love this idea. So that's what I'm actually going to personally do. And I'm obviously not going to share it because it's super personal, but I am going to do this exercise on my own because I think it'll be really healing. And I think it also creates a little bit more focus of maybe what we aren't satisfied with right now and what we actually have the power to choose to do moving forward with this next year of life. Because fuck, I'm going to go on a rant for a second, but life is such a fucking gift. The fact that we wake up every day is something we need to express gratitude for. And I know I take this for granted sometimes. I make dark jokes sometimes that aren't always a crowd pleaser. And I really want to just stress how cool it is that we even get to walk this earth. And the fact that we have the power to do what we want with that life is so incredible. And so if there's something that's eating you right now, of something that you feel called to change or express or do in your life, then I really encourage you to do it and to use your changes and seasons or birthday or whatever is coming up for you around this time to take control over what you have control over and fucking run with it. I know that's what I'm personally focused on. And I feel like Leo season is just the time to thrive, no matter what your season is or what your sign is. So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Let me know if you get birthday blues. I'd love to hear from you. If you could just drop a comment in my latest Instagram, I would love to hear from you. And as always, if you want to share it with a friend or put it on your post on Instagram, at the Not So Average Betch is my personal Instagram, and at For What For Who podcast is the podcast Instagram. So with that, thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate all of your love and support. And as always, guys, love yourself, love others, and wash your fucking hands. I will see you next Monday. Bye, guys.